Please be seated. Last week, I spent some time reflecting with you on the power of vision, and that the reality that Scripture speaks about for you and I is that without vision, we will perish. I also reflected with you on the Scripture from 1 Peter about how each one of us are like living stones, if you will, like each one of the hands of the youth of the youth group that I was a part of at the church I was at before. Each one of us are like these hands. We're like living stones that God is using to build a spiritual house. And that house is built on the foundation, ultimately, of the Lord's will for us. And today I want to continue to reflect with you on the power of vision, particularly in regard to the call to vision, the invitation to sacrifice, and how that ultimately leads to freedom on this Memorial Day weekend. John Hancock, who was the first signer of the Declaration of Independence, was an earnest worker for the cause of freedom. During the siege of Boston, General Washington consulted Congress upon the propriety of bombarding the town of Boston. His letter was read to Congress, of which Mr. Hancock was the president. At first, there was silence when this letter was read. Then a member made a motion that the House should resolve itself into a committee as a whole in order that Mr. Hancock might give his opinion, since all of his property was located in Boston. Leaving his chair, John Hancock addressed the committee as follows. "It is true, sir, that nearly all of the property I have in the world is in the houses and other real estate in the town of Boston. But if the liberties of our country require they're being burnt to ashes, issue the order for that purpose immediately." What a tremendous statement. What a tremendous reality. John Hancock sacrificed a lot for freedom and for our freedom, and he sacrificed his very life. And the reality for you and me has not changed today, that vision, sacrifice, and freedom are three words that belong together. In fact, they go together if we're truly to realize all that vision is to mean. I don't know if you knew this or not, but John Hancock, Alexander Hamilton, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Betsy Ross, and George Washington all happened to worship at a church by the name of Christ Church in Philadelphia. In fact, you can still go to that church this day. I was just talking to somebody at a wedding last night who grew up in Philly. He was sharing with me about George Washington's pew in that church. And, you know, one of the most amazing things for you and I is that that was an Anglican church at the time, but Bishop White, when all of this was going on, let then the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Church of England, let him know that the Church of England in the United States was going to succeed into this new revolution. And that was the beginning of the Episcopal Church. So the reason why I share this with you here today is how much times have changed, and yet how much they have remained the same. And what I say to all of us here today is that being members of the Episcopal Church, you and I have a heritage of a people of vision. We have a heritage of a people of sacrifice for freedom. And I think it's important for you and I to reclaim that vision, for you and I to begin to ask the question, what direction is our country going in, and is this the direction that I want it to go in? And what does it mean for me in my own life, and to quit looking to the left or to the right or to in front of you or behind you, and begin to answer the question in your own heart like John Hancock did that day, as they were going to lay siege to the town of Boston, he answered the question for himself, do whatever you need to do for freedom. And you and I believe, have yet to come to that place. But vision and sacrifice and freedom are three words that are linked together and can never, ever really be separated. I believe this is true in our secular affairs. I believe world is fighting for in this moment, whether it be the Arab Spring or whether it be other countries throughout our world, they are fighting in their hearts for freedom, because God has planted that in their hearts to be free and to be successful and to be blessed ultimately in Him. And we see this in the story today of Abraham, in God's call to him in his life, in this wonderful reading from Hebrews. Turn to that with me, if you will, in your bulletin today. And at the very beginning of this particular verse of Scripture, you read God's call to Abraham, which is a call to vision. It is also a call to sacrifice, but ultimately it is a call to freedom as well. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. Could you imagine that? Setting out somewhere where you didn't know where you were going, but you just began to set out because you knew God was calling you. You knew God was speaking to you. Again, in Hebrews, I think Hebrews has one of the great definitions of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What do you mean by that? You need to spend some time with that particular verse in Scripture. But what it means is that faith is an invitation to vision. It's an invitation to hearing God speaking uniquely to you, or as God's people in this place, or to God's kingdom. And to allow God to speak to you in such a way that it calls you and I to sacrifice for that vision, to follow Him in that vision, to surrender to Him in that vision, to be open to new possibilities with Him in that vision, and ultimately to experience the freedom, the wonderful freedom, the wonderful blessing, the wonderful anointing that you and I will uniquely find in that place. Abraham was a visionary whose inspiration were the promises of God. Abraham heard God, he followed God, and he sacrificed all in order to go where God would lead him. Again, I remind you in this very first part of our verse in this reading today, he left home not knowing where he was going. Can you imagine that? Would you be willing to do that? I don't know about you, but wherever I'm going during the week in my travels, I have my iPhone, I have my maps on there, I plug in the coordinates, the GPS, and I know where I'm going. I would not want to travel even a half an hour up the road to visit somebody and not know where they are. I'd probably be out traveling all day. But you see, that was God's call to Abram in his life. He called him to, first of all, hear his voice. And to hear God's voice on God's terms, not your terms. Let me share something with you. If you're really hearing God's voice, you're going to know it. Whenever we read in the Scriptures of people hearing the voice of God, it shook them up. It changed their life. At times they were afraid, and God led them to places where they didn't even know where they were going. And the same will be true for you and me. As we hear the voice of God and we listen to God's vision for our life, God will lead us to places in our spirit and in our natural life where we don't even know the destination. And God loves it. God loves every moment of it. Because in that journey of life, guess what happens? You get to draw closer to God, and God draws closer to Him, to you. Guess what? As you step out in faith, it requires even more faith. And then you take another step, which requires faith. And then faith step after faith step after faith step. This is what God loves. Because this is how your relationship with God builds and grows and deepens. When Abram left all that he knew, he was married. He was 75 years old. And he heard the voice of God. And everything else changed after that. And one of the most important things about Abram was he listened to God. You know, so often as I come across people in my life, they're asking me, Father Joe, what does God want me to do? What direction does God want me to go in? I'm not quite sure what to do in this situation. And those are all very honest and wonderful and legitimate questions. But one of the things I often ask people as we're in that discernment process is, what was the last thing God spoke to you? And did you listen to Him? You see, a lot of times you and I want to go on to B and C, but God is still at A. And the reason why God is still at A is, guess what? Because you didn't listen to A. Hello. This is not your plan. This is not your vision, God Jr. This is God's vision and plan for your life. And until you listen to A, you are not going to B. It is not going to happen. And that is why so many of us are stuck. That is why so many of us are confused. That is why so many of us aren't experiencing the abundance of blessings that God has for us, because we haven't listened to God's voice to us in the first place. If you're waiting for God to speak something else to you that is more agreeable to you than what he spoke to you in A, you're going to be waiting a long time. Abraham listened to God. You and I need to do the same thing. If God has already spoken to you A, and you haven't done it yet, let me make a very simple suggestion to you. Go back to A and do it, and then you'll get B later on. And then as Abram listened to God, let's read the rest of this verse, the rest of these verses in here. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Guess what? The architect and builder of the spiritual home that God is fashioning for you and me, and the unique place that God has for you in it, guess who the builder and architect of that is? It is God. And so one of the most important things that you and I can discover is what God is building and exactly where God wants to put this living stone in his house. It all fits together if you and I will only follow. If you and I will only follow. And so as you and I listen to God's vision in our life, as we listen to God speaking to us, and we begin to follow him in faith, we will go into places like Abraham that seem foreign to us. Because they are. You've never been there before. Abraham had never been in the land of Canaan before, and it was foreign to him. But it was the land of promise. It was the place that God had called him to go. And whatever was going to happen there, at least he knew he was where God wanted him to be. And that is the best place to be where God wants you and I to be. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. You see, for Abraham, it wasn't about whether he was the right age to have a baby. It wasn't about whether his wife Sarah was the right age to have a baby. God had promised him a kid. And somehow, some way, the God who promised it was going to see it through. Remember this. As God speaks to you his vision, it's not going to make any sense to you. That, for me, is a big sign that God is indeed speaking to me. If it's only possible by God's power and strength, then I know it's God. If it's something I can humanly achieve, well, it might be me and it might be God, but I'm not sure. You see, Abram needed God to accomplish the vision that he was calling him to. And that's part of God's invitation to us in this hour, like the founding fathers of this nation, to be willing to have vision, to be able to have the courage of sacrifice, that we might enter into the fullness of freedom that God has for us, to dream big. Unless you and I are dreaming dreams that are big enough that we're going to fail hugely, then they're not big enough. You're just playing it safe. And you're not getting really anywhere in your life or in the kingdom of God. Unless you and I are willing to follow God's vision for our life, and even at times upset other people around us, and be willing to follow him to the point of willing to fail in some way, then we're not really, I think, hearing God and the bigness of the vision and dreams that he has. You see, the vision that God spoke to Abraham and Sarah, it couldn't happen without God. And God's vision for you, it's not going to happen without God. You see, I appreciate the honesty of your faces. Some of you are looking at me like, nobody's ever told me that before. I thought I was going to be able to do this on my own. Oh, no. No, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. See? And that was the beauty of this, the beauty of this story here today, that Abraham believed God and trusted him. And God kept his promise to Abraham. God made the impossible possible through the miraculous power of his working in him. And God's promise to Abraham early on was that he was going to make him the father of many nations. What a joke. I mean, think about it. That was the one thing that Abraham was not able to do, was to have kids. He wasn't able to do it. Sarah wasn't able to do it. They were barren. And what does God promise them? What's God's vision for them? He's going to be the father of many nations. Yeah, right. When Isaac was born, his dad was about 100 years old. Abraham, better you than me, that's all I can say. And there was laughter in the house. Oh, yeah. Laughter, probably some crying, all kinds of things. But there was laughter in that house. By faith, he received the power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself him who had promised faithful. Therefore, from one person, I love this line, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born. Abraham was dust, as good as dead. But through the anointing power of God's Holy Spirit, through the creator of the universe, through the one who breathed life into dust, he was a spring chicken. Sarah too. And a year later, they were having baby Isaac. You know, one of the neat things about this story is that when the angels of the Lord came to Abram in his tent, Sarah was there as well, the word of the Lord came to Abram and said to him, you know what, a year from now, you're going to have a child. Sarah's going to have a child. And as soon as Sarah heard that word, what did she do? She laughed. And let me say, I don't think it was a laughter of, oh, yes, I can't wait, but it's like a laughter of disbelief. And God heard that laugh. Do you know what the name Isaac means in Hebrew? He who laughs. God got the last laugh on Sarah. God got the last laugh. And every time they yelled that young boy's name, Isaac, don't do that, or Isaac, you did a great job with that, they were reminded, God got the last laugh. Abraham's step of faith. Listen to this. I shared this with you last week. Your decision matters. My decision matters. Our yes, our no, our maybes to God's vision for us, they matter. Abraham's yes to God. Abraham leaving the familiar for the vision that God had for him. Abraham's willingness to sacrifice for that vision dearly brought him into the very freedom that God had for him and that he could only experience from God. And that was the gift of laughter, the gift of his child, the gift of Isaac. Abraham's step of faith released the miraculous power of God. And beloved, one of the reasons why you and I and the church in our modern era, especially in the United States, is not experiencing the miraculous power of God is because we are not willing to step out in faith. We are not willing to believe God and his word. We are not willing to believe that his Holy Spirit is still active in this moment, active in our lives, active in his church, active in us, active in you individually, and able to do so much more than we could even ask or imagine. Abraham's step of faith released the power of God, and Abraham was set free to celebrate a dream come true. That's where God wants to bring you and me. God has been speaking to you. I know that. Because God's been speaking to me about that as your priest. And I've been praying for you about that. There's a reason why I'm talking about vision right now. There's a reason why I'm talking about how vision and sacrifice and freedom are all linked together, and how they were very much at the very foundation stones, not only of this country, but of the Church of Jesus Christ in this moment. And so I invite you on this Memorial Day weekend to embrace the reality of your call, to begin to be open to God speaking afresh the vision that he has for you. If you have gone past A and you need to go back there, go back and listen to the first thing that God has spoken to you, and then proceed. And then be open to the sacrifice, the dear sacrifice, that many of us will need to make, that we might realize the freedom, the great freedoms that God has for us, and that God has for those around us as well. I leave you on this Memorial Day weekend with a timeless quote that for me brings this home. Dear Madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you're the mother of five sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any words of mine which should attempt to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering to you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost, and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, President Abraham Lincoln.